Well, welcome to the final week of our series we're calling Revival Arrival. Over these last 5 weeks, we've been looking at ways that we can revive our faith in a number of different areas where it's easy to become a little unbelieving or somewhat doubtful. You can watch all the episodes of this series on our YouTube channel or on the watch page of our website at sthillary.org. Today, I want to talk with you about true riches are coming. We all want success, promotion, prosperity. God has put in our hearts a desire to do well, to achieve our dreams and accomplish our ambitions. But a lot of people go about it the wrong way. They strive and strain to climb the ladder. Getting to the top and getting rich is all they think about. Some people even manipulate things. They lie, steal, and cheat to get what they want. They're not afraid to step on a few toes, take a couple of shortcuts, take some liberties. They don't think twice about putting their goals ahead of everything and everyone else. The other day, I was driving home. A lady cut me off talking on the cell phone. No problem. You know, I'm a priest. I'm holy. I was cool about it, kind of chilling. It's fine. You know, she got in front of me. That's all right. But then we both got slowed down by this huge truck that was going way under the speed limit. Well, pretty soon she got very impatient. She suddenly took a right, darted, raced through a retail parking lot, barreling past pedestrians, trying to get to the other side to cut the truck off like she had done to me. Sadly, her plan didn't work out. The timing was wrong. I felt so bad for her. She got stuck behind this huge truck all the way down Tiburon Boulevard. I just shook my head and chuckled, and I'm sure she was getting more and more upset by the minute. You might think that you have to take some shortcuts to get in front of people, or swim with the sharks, do what they do to be successful, or focus all your attention on money in order to get rich. That can bring you some success for a while, but it won't be true riches, the kind of wealth God wants you to have. If you want to have true riches, you have to trust God to get you to where He wants you to be when He wants you to be there. The good news is the kind of rewards God has in mind for you are greater than you can imagine. When my brother was young, he always said he was going to be a millionaire by the time he was 40. Back then, $1 million was a lot of money. My brother was very ambitious, and he wanted to be in radio broadcasting. When he was 15 years old, just 15, he got a job as a disc jockey working the overnight weekend shifts at a small radio station in Atlanta called WFOM. You can see that little house. That's where the station was way back when, in the 70s, I guess it was. My dad used to drive him every Friday and Saturday night at 11 o'clock for his shift and pick him up at 7 in the morning. My brother was very ambitious, and when he turned 18, he was hired by another much larger outfit. He started off as a research assistant and then worked his way up, and eventually later became the general manager of a large radio station. At one point, he moved to New York City and launched a syndicated radio program featuring big band music from the 1940s. You guys play big band music? You ever done that? Yeah? Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun. People love it. My brother hired these celebrities from yesteryear to be the on-air radio personalities. It was great. People loved it. And in its heyday, my brother had over 200 radio stations around the country broadcasting his program. He literally spent half the year on cruise ships that he had branded with the name of the show. He worked from the ship. I've never been on a single cruise in my entire life. I'm not jealous. I'm okay. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It seemed that my brother was well on his way to his childhood dream of making a lot of money. In the gospel reading today, a wealthy man asked Jesus what he needed to do to get to heaven. Jesus started with the basics. Do the right thing. Follow the law. The man replied and said that he has always acted uprightly, did the right thing. He didn't lie, cheat, or steal to get what he had. He took care of his parents. He respected them. He followed the commandments. He respected his parents, and he had done everything right. He was a man of integrity. Jesus looked at him, looking at him, loved him. I love that line. He loved him. And he said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Jesus honed in on the one thing he knew this man could not let go of and entrust to God, at least not yet. We don't know what happened in the future, but the passage says that his face fell and he went away sad because he had many possessions. He did not gain his wealth by doing bad things. It was just that he could not trust God with his money. He could not bring himself to turn it over long enough to receive what God really wanted him to have. The problem wasn't that he possessed many possessions. The stumbling block for this man was that his wealth and possessions possessed him. Scripture says, love of money is the root of all evil. This rich man could not seem to root out from his heart the love of money, and that kept him from seeing the truly abundant life God had in store for him. At one point, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The man in the story had good intentions. He wanted to learn from Jesus. That's why Jesus looked at him with love. But unfortunately, the man did not have true riches. Like a lot of people who chase after wealth as their primary goal in life, he was carrying around too much baggage. His possessions weighed him down, making it impossible for him to follow Jesus. That's why after the man left, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Camels were used and still are used to transport lots of luggage over long distances. There's no way a camel saddled with all that baggage could fit through any kind of small opening, much less the eye of a needle, obviously. People who want money and possessions more than anything else in life are like those camels. That's what Jesus was saying. They're like those camels. They're saddled with all this extra baggage. It's like they're forced to carry around this heavy weight wherever they go. They are not truly free. They take on this excess baggage. Like for some people, it could be the guilt that comes from, you know, clawing your way to the top or stepping over people to get where you want to be. Or it could just be the constant worry that a lot of people with wealth have that they're going to suddenly lose it all or that somebody's going to take it from them. Or it could be this low-level feeling, you know, this nagging feeling that you always want more, and however much you have, it's never enough. Proverbs says that whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. It's the baggage we carry around when we want to be rich that punishes us. The more successful my brother became, the more he faced liars and cheats who tried to swindle him. His desire for wealth made him vulnerable to people who also wanted wealth and would do anything it took to get what he had. That was my brother's baggage, his zealousness for wealth. At one point, they were successful. My brother is and has always been a very trusting person. But they double-crossed him and stole the business out from under him. There was nothing he could do. They had the high-powered attorneys. It was a big company with lots of money to defend a lawsuit. They could drag it out for years. The company my brother had built almost from scratch was suddenly gone, along with any hope of ever becoming a millionaire. But my brother is an eternal optimist. I admire this so much in him. He's an eternal optimist, and he started over. But along the way, he became a man of faith, a follower of Jesus. This time, his goal was not to make $1 million. It was to serve God. He took his marketing and other skills and started helping churches and small nonprofits in his area doing good work to try to save the world, what nonprofits do. Today, he lives in a modest home in Florida with his wife. He doesn't make a lot of money. He's not a millionaire, but he has everything he needs, and he's happy. No one's trying to cheat him anymore. He's not swimming with the sharks any longer. He's at peace. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says we should not set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides for us everything to enjoy. Here's the principle. Money is not bad. Money is not bad. God may want you to have money. God may want you to have a lot of money in order to fulfill your purpose in life. And when you do what God wants you to do, it won't come with all that baggage. And he will give you your true reward in exchange. You can try to get what you want on your own power, perhaps even like some people, compromising your integrity or betraying your sacrificing your values, but it won't get you very far, and it comes with a lot of baggage. If you want true riches, you have to let go of what you have to receive what God wants to give you. In the gospel, Peter wanted to know what his reward was going to be for following Jesus. He had given up a lot. All the disciples had. Jesus said, "There is no one who has given up a house, brothers or sisters, mother or father, children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more." And he didn't just mean in the next life. He also meant in this life as well. He didn't say it would always be easy. There would be persecutions. It's always hard to do the right thing. I have a friend who has been very successful in life. His parents came from Mexico to Los Angeles when they were in their 20s. They had no money, no education. His father worked very hard, eking out a living and supporting his family by cobbling together several low-paying jobs, always taking on the least desirable shifts. Over time, he was able to save a little money, went to trade school, and gradually increased their standard of living to kind of a lower middle-class kind of standard of living. His mother understood the value of education. She scrimped and saved to send him through Catholic school. She believed in the American dream, and she told him that he could accomplish anything that he set his mind to. He said she never set limits on what she thought he could achieve. Today, my friend is by far the most financially successful person in his family. He makes a lot of money managing the wealth of one of the richest people on the planet. But my friend is also a man of God. He understands what is truly important. He is not defined by his work, not motivated only by the financial rewards of his job. He says he wakes up every morning, works hard, stays focused, does the things he doesn't want to do all the time because of his wife and his two precious little daughters. He knows they are gifts from God and the driving force behind his life. My friend is well off. He has a lot of money, but he travels light through this world. He doesn't have excess baggage because he understands what true riches are. I often wonder what would have happened to that man in the gospel if he had followed the advice of Jesus. What greater rewards would he have received? Something to think about. God sees everything. The second reading says, no creature is concealed from him. God knows when you act uprightly, when you choose to do the right thing, when you're a person of integrity. God knows when you have the wisdom to let go of just your ambitions, your dreams, when they're not aligned with God's. God knows when you turn over to him your livelihood, your family, your finances, your heart, your very life. And when you make that decision, like my brother, like my friend, like everyone who has ever put God first, then you will have true wealth. It's tempting to think that nice guys finish last. You have to focus on yourself, take what you want to be happy. But as the first reading today says, when you choose the wisdom of God before everything else, then you will receive countless riches.